Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here we are. We're at the Sunday of the Publican and the Pharisee, which means, including this Sunday, there's four more Sundays, and then we begin Great Lent. And Great Lent is this time when you should dedicate to learning something, to changing something in your soul, to getting in a situation that your soul is more open to God. That's what you should be trying to do during Great Lent. It's the whole purpose of Great Lent, is to open ourselves to God so that when the resurrection comes, that is, it's already come, of course, but when we commemorate it with such incredible beauty, something comes into our heart and changes us. Doesn't matter how beautiful you think the resurrection is or how much doctrine you know or anything else. If it doesn't change you, then you might as well have memorized Q in the phone book. It doesn't really matter, okay? What matters is that you change. And all these Gospels that are leading up to the Great Lent are about repentance and about change. Now, it's quite obvious, anybody knows, that you shouldn't be proud and you should be humble. Even proud people know you shouldn't be proud and should be humble. They just don't recognize their pride. So that's obvious. It's obvious that the Pharisee was full of pride and that the publican was humble. That's easy. Anybody can see that. An unbeliever can see that. And that's an important thing to know, that we should be humble and not proud. Absolutely. But since I became a Christian, and especially since I've become a priest, what I'm obsessed with is not that we should do something, but how can we do the thing that we should do? So how do you become humble? How do you cease your pride, which has tentacles in everything we do? How do you love your brother and love your enemy? How do you open your heart to God? It's right here in this story about the publican and the Pharisees. Excuse me, the publican and the Pharisee. But it's not completely obvious. The obvious stuff is that the Pharisee was proud. Well, if you read the canon for last night, or for this morning, I suppose, it has some ideas in it. Unfortunately, I didn't copy out the things that I read. I actually read the canon twice this morning and, of course, heard it last night. Because it's amazing. One of the things that there are two things that really hit me. You know, I always put three dots. If Jenny wonders why there's three dots next to things, that's because I've read it and I say, oh, I want to save this somehow. So I put three dots next to things that I really love very much. One of them was that the Pharisee, because of his pride, thought he was running. And the publican was walking, but he was justified rather than the other. So pride makes us think we're something we're not, and we're better than we are, and it makes us happy. If we think we're great stuff, we're pretty happy about it. And we don't really like to think that we're not great stuff, but that is the way of life, the walking, the going slowly. And then this other stichera from the canon really hit me very hard. Every time I hear it, my ears perk up. And that is where the Pharisee, I can't quote it exactly, unfortunately, but that's the way it is with a lot of things. We don't maybe know the exact quotation, but it's really touched our heart. That's the important thing. So whether or not you memorize the Gospel of Matthew, I don't care. But I do care that you live the Beatitudes, whether or not you can say them all in a row or not. It's more important to have them committed to your heart than to your brain. So this stichera says something about the Pharisee being cruel. Is there anything in this parable that says he's cruel? And yet the fathers know that he is. He's cruel. In fact, his demeanor reminds me of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man wasn't purposefully cruel. He didn't hurt Lazarus. He stepped over him. He might even have had the servants give him a little water once in a while. The parable doesn't say so. Of course, the parable is a story. But you can imagine that a person who's just indifferent about someone, maybe once in a while helps them a little bit. Excuse me, the Pharisee was cruel. Why was he cruel? It's because of exactly what St. Luke has him saying, the Lord says, in the beginning of his prayer. And the Pharisee prayed within himself, and therefore he was cruel. He was indifferent to others. By the way, some of the translations are not so great. The better idiom is that the Pharisee assumed a stance, and then he began to pray. You can imagine him just kind of sitting there with his elbow on the table or something like that, because he feels very secure that he's good. So he assumes this stance, which is not a stance of humility, and he prays within himself. And there we have it, why he's cruel, why he says these foolish things where he brags about himself, and then he dismisses the publican, or even this publican here. Of course, we know it's wrong to brag about ourselves. It's wrong to dismiss the publican. But why do we do it then? Because we don't pray except within ourselves. We can't pray within ourselves. We're not going to answer our prayers. God will. What does it mean to pray within yourself? It means to pray in such a way that it's not with attention, not with intensity, not with blood. I talked about blood last week, that you have to pray with your blood. Blood is life, right? Blood is warm. You must pray with life, with warmth, with zeal, with compunction. That's what the publican did. He didn't pray within himself. He prayed, basically knew that he was a terrible person, and God justified him. That's the thing that attracted me to Orthodoxy, our prayer. I came from a Protestant background. It was all about loving Jesus and getting people saved and everything like that. But there wasn't compunction in the prayer at all. And our prayer is full of compunction. It's a little bit too much compunction for a lot of people. But I love it because it's true. It's the truth. It's the truth about the kind of person I am. And when you're saying that you're a terrible person and God saved me, then you're not praying within yourself. Unless, of course, you're not really paying attention and just rattling off prayers. That's another way to pray within yourself, is to say, okay, I've got these prayers to say, blah, 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 I'm done. Okay, now I can go do something else. That's praying within yourself. You have to pray with zeal, with your blood, and that's what the publican did. So you have to guard yourself against this. That's why I'm kind of on this, my wife, God bless her, she teases me. Right? She teases me. Sometimes I get an idea and I speak about it for a week or so. And she says, oh, so that's the word of the week, is it? You know? And I do that. I get kind of obsessive about some things sometimes. And right now what I'm obsessed about is that we are coming upon very difficult times. All of us are. And I want you to be ready. I want me to be ready. How are we going to be ready? We're going to be ready if we don't pray within ourselves. We're going to be ready if we pray to God with zeal, with blood, with prostrations. That's why I talk about prostrations so much. That's why I talk about the Psalter so much. That's why I talk about praying for others so much, especially the people that you don't get along with or that have hurt you. They should be before your family. Pray for those people first. Another way of praying within yourself, by the way, is if you commemorate people, you commemorate just your family. You know more people than that. In fact, you know people that are suffering. You know people that are crazy. You know people that are drug addicts. You know people that have been divorced 3 times and are miserable and are drowning themselves in a bottle. We all know people like that. You should be praying for those people because you know those people. Not just your family. Praying within yourself is just the things that kind of are in your little bubble. We've heard a lot about bubbles this year, haven't we? And people get within themselves when they're in a bubble. They just kind of think of their own stuff. Well, we as Christians don't think of our own stuff. We think of the world. We think of the people around us. We pray for those that have needs. We do prostrations maybe for people. I read something just a long time ago, but it's recent in my mind because it's just this kind of idea is always there. There's an abbess who knew that a particular nun had trouble with anger. And so she decided to fast an additional day of the week for her. I don't know what day it was. She just fasted on that day for her sake. Just one measly person out of however many there were in the monastery. That's when you don't pray within yourself. That's when you're praying to God and when you're praying with your blood and you're giving your blood to God. That's what you need to be doing. That's what you need to be working on. Every single one of us is poor at doing it. And I'm poor at doing it, but I've gotten better. And regardless of whether I'm poor at doing it or not, my task as a priest is, you've heard me say this before, some of you, I'm a sinner helping other sinners not to sin. I have to tell you things that are above me because I'm trying to do those things too. It's not hypocritical to tell you to do things that I'm not quite capable of. But I'll tell you what, I'm trying hard to get capable of them. And you need to as well. You need to pray outside of yourself. You need to pray to God with zeal, to the saints with zeal. How do you do this? Well, there is no cookbook for this, okay? You can't read something from the fathers that tells you how to do this. This is learned through life experience, through God enlightening us, through us opening up our hearts to God, and by effort. None of us try hard enough. None of us pray enough. None of us take enough time in the morning or in the evening to pray with our hearts. That's why I really recommend to you all that you'd be doing prostrations, a lot of them, not two or three. If that's all you can do, then do two or three. But maybe next week you can do 10. And the next week after that, you can do 20. And if you have to use a chair or a table, then do that to help you. Doesn't matter. It matters that you're struggling to do prostrations, because I'll tell you what, when you're doing prostrations, you're not praying within yourself because your body is helping you to focus. And when you go down to the ground, you feel like, well, I feel like, you know what, I have absolutely no power whatsoever. If you're on the ground, let's say in a fight, you're completely helpless. You're helpless on the ground. I'm telling God with my body, I can't get anything done. And I'm a terrible person, but I want you to help this person that for some reason is in my care. Not that I deserve it, not that I'm good enough to do it, but there they are. And so I pray for them with a prostration. And then I ask the saints to pray for us with a prostration, especially the ones who faltered and then came back. Because I think that's going to happen to some of us. Some of us are going to falter, and I hope that we come back when we falter. When we fall away, when we're afraid to speak up at work because we're going to lose our job, or when we're afraid for more notorious reasons. That's why I tell you to do prostrations. And during Great Lent is the great opportunity to start, not start, you should be doing them today. You can do them at home. By the way, I was asked about this. On Sunday, you want to do prostrations, you go ahead. Do them in the morning. Do them in the evening. We don't do them at church because we are not doing them at church in order to commemorate the resurrection. Because for the most part, we pray standing, because in the resurrection, we'll be standing with the Lord. But at home, you want to do prostrations on Sunday, please. Absolutely. So you should do them today. If you haven't started, do some today. Maybe you can do a dozen today. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. And do a prostration. Pray for your loved ones. If you've got, you know, family, let's say you have six in your family, maybe three prostrations for everybody. Not everybody at once. Everybody individually. Right? I mean, children say, and the whole world, right? Who do you want to commemorate? Want to commemorate mommy and daddy and my doggy and Aunt May and the whole world? Well, that's not the way we pray. We pray more specifically than that. Okay? So that's what you need to be doing. And during Great Lent, you have this great opportunity with the prayer of St. Ephrem to say it certainly in the morning, certainly in the evening. If you say it in its full form, there's four prostrations each time you say it. And you absolutely should. Last year after Pascha, I said the prayer of St. Ephrem after Pentecost. I started saying it, and I said it for a long time. You can say it otherwise. You can say it every day if you want. Because it's the truth, isn't it? It's the things we need and the things that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing that are in that prayer, right? And that's not praying within ourselves. You have to struggle to learn to know what this is, to not pray within yourself. So I've given you a few things. One thing is that if you don't notice people in your life that need something and you're not praying for them, then you're praying within yourself when you pray. Because you're saying, God help me, God help my family, help me to get a good grade on a test, help me to be healthy, or my son or my daughter to be healthy. That's praying within yourself if that's all you're saying. So that's one thing. Another way of praying within ourselves is when we just say prayers because there's a sort of our rule to pray. You know, we'll pray 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there, something like that. That's praying within yourself, as if you're fulfilling some sort of legal requirement. And praying within yourself is also praying without compunction. You should try to have compunction. Now, if we were not so messed up in our hearts, we would all have tears when we prayed. We would be actually crying when we prayed. Maybe some of you do sometimes. We would have a deep compunction in our heart when we pray. So in lieu of that, at least you can struggle to have compunction by saying the words with some attention and with a prostration. And if you do that and you reach out to others in a tangible way and also in a way of prayer. I mean, if you pray for people and think, okay, that's fine. You know, I'm praying for this person who is sick in bed. Well, you should also go see that person who's sick in bed, if possible. But definitely pray for that person. This is critically important to our growth. And we don't have much time left. You know, if this was the 80s, the 90s, even 2000, and certainly earlier, you can kind of bebop through life and nobody's really going to bother you. You're going to be okay. You're going to have enough to eat and drink and you're going to think you're okay. And then you're going to die. But this time is much more trying. I just saw recently a picture. I don't know why I thought of this, but I saw a picture. Some of you might know the Billie Holiday song, Strange Fruit. It's an incredible song. It's almost impossible to listen to that song and not cry. And there was a picture of a lynching. And the people around them, around these two black men that had been accused, probably completely falsely accused, doesn't matter. It was just an accusation. And of course, it was, you know, an accusation about some white woman. So they were lynched. And the white people around were gathering like it was a party. Men, women, children, smiling, gesturing. Which one of those people went home and wept that day? They all were within themselves. Which one of them wept? I hope somebody did. Because that's not praying within yourself. That's saying this is a terrible thing. There's not a political solution. It's a solution in the heart. And if you see something that's terrible, you must pray. You must react in some way. Not just be somebody milling about and saying, look at that. Isn't that interesting? It's not interesting, it's terrible. And there are many things in life like that. Thank God we don't have lynchings regularly. Can't recall the last one that happened. There was one in Texas right at the turn of the century. There was a crowd of 20,000 people watching. Which one of those people wept? Which one of those people looked around at their neighbor and said, this is wrong? Who had the guts to do that? Or did they all just go along and go to the next thing in life? That's praying within yourself. We don't pray within ourselves. We care about the world. And then we pray. And we struggle against our sins. And we tell God that we're terrible, but we also know that He's going to help us. That's praying to God with the heart. That's what you have to be doing. So look around you. You're going to see it. You're going to see it every day that there's just stuff that's wrong. There's people that are off. They're doing the wrong thing. They're thinking the wrong thing. And we're thinking the wrong thing. And our loved ones too. So we must learn to pray. This Pharisee only thought about himself. All the sins that he had, all that pride, all that bragging, was because he only thought about himself when he prayed. God didn't hear a word of it because he prayed within himself. So we must learn. We can do it. Pray the prayer of Saint Ephrem every day during Great Lent. Begin doing prostrations tonight. And buff up your commemoration list. Maybe you have to create one. But if you have to, then make it. I recommend that literally you write it down. And then do a prostration for the people that are significant to you. And also pray for others. By the way, I have a lot of significant people to me. They're not my family. I do prostration for everybody in my family, but they're not my family. Sometimes they're people that I don't even know, that I've never met, but I just learned their story or heard something about them, and I pray for them. So you can add people like that too. Living or dead, it doesn't matter. May God help us to open our hearts, not have them so closed, so that God actually hears our prayers. May God bless you. Amen.